the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy Doomsday 519. Once again, it's a two live crew with me and the man from the West Side.
Yep.
West Side Golf.
I don't know if you've ever heard the group The Revolting Cox. They actually have a cover of the Two Live Crew classic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They also have a cover of Rod Stewart's classic, If You Think I'm Sexy. They're, both covers are actually really good. Oh, and a really evil cover of, well, not really a cover, but it's based on Olivia Newton-John's Physical, so, you know.
I just listened to a Rod Stewart song. I think it was Young Turks.
Young Turks?
Yeah, a few days ago.
I don't really know. I only really know If You Think I'm Sexy, and I just know the Revolting Cox changed a couple lyrics to make it sound sleazier. But, yeah, the Revco is a version of a group called the Ministry, they were, which is a fascinating band. They started out like a knockoff British new wave synth-pop group in the, like, mid-80s.
Yeah.
They had a song called Every Day is Halloween that's kind of popular around Halloween time. But then in 88, he met up with some guys, got rid of all that shit, and just made, and basically became the precursors to, like, Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson.
Oh, okay.
So, they had, some pretty, big hits in the, the early 90s. You ever saw that movie AI?
Yeah.
They were the band that's playing during the, when they're killing all the robots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a Cuban guy who went from having a fake British accent to just doing some of the most vicious metal in the world.
You know, I have mixed feelings about that movie.
I do too. It's a good idea. Looks really nice. It just doesn't come together.
It doesn't come together, and it felt too long to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a Spielberg movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, Spielberg. I mean, I generally like Spielberg, but like most directors, he's hit or miss. That was in his miss column. Now I'm trying to figure out how I can switch this back to wrestling. I'm pretty sure there was a rock band that used Ministry for the theme songs in the early 90s. Oh, I used their song Jesus Belt My Hot Rod when I was a backyard wrestler.
Nice.
There you go. That's the closest thing I got.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're just kind of spitballing here because we don't have any big stuff to start off with. We're going to start with Raw and SmackDown this time. As always, I followed the spoilers and gifs on Twitter, but you actually watched the show, sort of, I guess.
Yeah.
You wanna?
By watching it, I watched like half of it, fell asleep, and the morning after, watched the rest on Hulu. Which took, actually didn't have so all the matches, because like, I believe Cedric like had a match or something like that on Raw, and I didn't see it because it wasn't on.
Yeah, I saw a gif of it. I think it was him and Gallagher with Swan was in Alexander's corner and Kendrick was in Gallagher's. I did see the him hit the lumbar check on it. It looked nice. Thank you, gif makers.
Yeah, man. Don't disrespect the gif makers. Don't hinder the gif makers. Let them keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, those gifs are pretty much everything important you need to know on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, but this Raw, apparently, it was it took a ratings dip, from what I heard, which is not too good since there's a pay-per-view coming.
Yeah.
So, shit happened, I don't know.
The indies, the ending of the show sounded pretty good. Even Dave Meltzer actually made a comment.
That was good. That was good. Yeah. The beginning of the show was actually pretty interesting, too, because it looked like the Shield was about to take out Kurt Angle. They were this close, because they just surrounded him and then just basically intimidated the fuck out of him. I thought that was kind of cool that they decided to harass him like that. But, there was a tag. There was a six-man tag I didn't give a shit about. It was Jason Jordan and the Titus Worldwide. I ended up winning that one. The match that I missed, Cedric, of course, won that with the lumbar check. Miz came out and talked about his team and eventually said that, yes, there should be a fifth man in my team. Kurt Angle did not agree with that, but eventually came to terms. If Braun Strowman lost the... Braun Strowman won the match with Roman Reigns in a steel cage at the main event, then they could add a fifth member. If not, Braun Strowman's off the team, and it'll be a 3-on-3. After that, Sasha Banks ended up facing Alicia Fox. Of course, Sasha Banks won, but after the match was interesting, because Sasha was celebrating, about to get interviewed by Renee Young, or no, it wasn't Renee Young, it was Charlotte Caruso, only to be attacked and blindsided by Alicia Fox, who subsequently just tossed her around and put her knee to her throat. after that, Enzo came out, talked his shit. Kalisto said fuck all that, came out, tried to attack Enzo. Only thing was Enzo had a whole crew with him, because apparently, I guess because he has paper, like he says, he basically hires whatever cruiserweight is nefarious. So
I saw someone on the internet called them the Model UN Club.
Yeah, because it was freaking like Tony Nese. It was Arya Daivari, Noam Dar, I believe Drew Gulak also. They all beat his ass. They just stomped him out. And then Mustafa
Drew
Ali.
Drew Gulak is really an underrated heel. He's doing so good with his gimmick.
Yes, his promo on 205 Live, like, with the PowerPoint and shit, yeah, like, the crowd is usually dead, but because he's such an asshole, and he plays that character that should be boring, of course they're gonna react to him, because they instead of being indifferent to what he's presenting them, they're fucking annoyed. And so, of course, they start chanting, booing, whatever. But he's actually getting reactions from the crowd, which is definitely a good thing.
Yeah. But, I'm hoping that one day they put him in a position where he can really show off his wrestling, too, because he can back it up.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, and then what else happened? But Mustafa Ali came out to try to make a save, and he got his ass kicked, too. So,
And I'm happy that they're pushing Ali a bit, too.
Yeah, they're basically having him as, like, the only ally of Kalisto. That's basically it.
They're both kind of from the same area, too, so it kind of works out.
They're Chicago area, right? Yeah, they're both from Chicago. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Because, like, all the other baby faces have other shit they got to deal with, like Rich Swann, Cedric... got to deal with those other heels like Gallagher, Kendrick, and TJP. So they got their own shit to worry about. So it's just Kalisto and Mustafa and whatnot at the top of the big face heap or whatever.
And Mustafa's been working with Enzo on the house shows too. So
really? Okay. So hopefully.
Yeah. Enzo can improve. Because they they kind of put him in for Neville on the house shows. So I think because he stepped up, they're putting in more emphasis on him, too.
Oh, yeah, and after that, the Bar faced Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose for the tag titles. That's just all right. There was one moment in it that was really, really awkward because
they didn't know what the fuck to do with the tag move. I didn't even know what the fuck the tag move was, but Sheamus and Cesaro had a huge miscue. Really bad. But the rest of the match was pretty good. And, of course, the champions retained. And there was the whole Demon Balor shit and Sister Abigail. So it's basically Demon Balor versus Sister Abigail at TLC. And he has this weird, like, pumpkin-type face paint that I guess he's
pumpkin
gonna...
Spice Demon. Right?
Pumpkin Spice Demon. Demon Balor. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck. Why not just do Halloween Havoc, for God's sakes?
Right. Oh, shit, they might as well. Fuck, they should have done that. Damn. Anyway. Yeah, since they're bringing all these WCW pay-per-views back and events and whatnot. What else? Emma and Alexa Bliss faced Mickie James and Bayley. Mickie James and Bayley ended up winning that one. Curtis Axel, he talked some bullshit. He said that he was going to be the fifth man and whatever, and then he could beat Roman Reigns' ass right now. Braun told him, all right, go ahead and do it. So he decides to go and face off against Roman. The only problem is Roman was with Seth and Dean, but like an idiot, Curtis Axel ended up going in anyway. Cuts the commercial. Comes back from the commercial, they find Curtis Axel hogtied to a forklift, bruised and all fucked up, his suit all tore up, and just fucked up. And the Miz finds him, and when they finally lower him down, and Miz is like, "Yeah, he'll be all right. I think the world of him, but he was never going to be the fifth man." So he got his ass beat for nothing. For fucking nothing. And then after that, Braun Strowman faced Roman Reigns in a steel cage match, which was pretty good. The bar ended up trying to interfere, but Dean and Seth came out and fought to the back. The Miz actually followed them all the way and then just locked them away. And as the match was going on, then you start seeing like the fire shit, all the red going on, and people wondering what the fuck is going on. It took a while before Kane finally popped out of the fucking ring, chokeslammed Roman Reigns a few times, hit him with a tombstone, and Braun just picked up the scraps and killed him. So, and then Miz came back and announced that Kane is the fifth man of the 3-on-5 match.
If that doesn't make you want to vote for Kane as your mayor of Knoxville, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, man. Yo, his like campaign symbol is a fucking flame. It's a flame.
Because he's hot fire?
Because he spits hot fire.
Yeah. I never see really Dave Meltzer comment on Raw or SmackDown too often, but even he made a remark that it was a nice turn they did.
Yeah, it was a good end. I liked it.
Yeah.
Like, people would always tell people like Kane to go away, but it always works with him if it's like a surprise. Him and yeah. Big Show. Him and Big Show.
Yeah, I think the problem with Kane was when he sticks around too much and they put him in dumb stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, no one was telling Kane to go away when he was teaming with Daniel Bryan because that shit was awesome.
Exactly. Exactly. People are fickle, but when you look at it, they're fickle for a reason.
You know? Yeah. Shit. I mean, it always comes down to essentially booking and writing.
Speaking of writing, there was a, before we get to SmackDown, there's a lead writer for, like, the WWE section on Bleacher Report, and he straight up said, you know what, every superstar he's interviewed
has been fantastic. He had a great time talking to them. Like, really great time. But then you look at the product that WWE gives them, and you know for a fact that WWE is just straight up overriding shit all the time.
Yeah.
It's terrible, man. It's a shame. Like, the fact that they have to be handed these shitty scripts all the time.
And only, I don't get it. I mean, there are guys who can take their stuff and make it work, but,
yeah,
you know, some guys, they need to be they just need the bullet points. Let them go out there and put it together. Let them sound natural.
Speaking of guys who seem natural, going to SmackDown, it's in Seattle. Daniel Bryan has his hometown crowd. They're hyping him up. Yes, 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 chance and shit. Sami Zayn comes out, cuts the best shit that he's cut in a while, and then just basically tears into Daniel Bryan. Like, happily. I like the character because he's not one of those like,
I'm mad I didn't get my position right and I'm not in a good position. He's like in this space where, like, yeah, he's happy that he's free of his responsibility to the people and all this shit, and he's just gonna do whatever the fuck he wants. So he's happily shitting on Daniel Bryan about how Daniel Bryan's a shell of his former self and how he wasted his time doing shit for the people and whatever, and it was just great. And then Kevin Owens comes out, rips him apart again, and Daniel Bryan has nothing substantial to say. He just fucking leaves. But before he leaves, he says, of course, he's gonna go to the back and find some people to punch them in the face.
Which is a perfectly valid response.
But you know they won.
Yeah. I mean, that's another good thing about Daniel Bryan, too, as the guy who they can bounce off of. Because you can get over on Daniel Bryan. Sometimes they won't let you get over on some of the people there. And you know, because of Daniel Bryan's situation, it makes it even harsher, what they have to say.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. And you know Bryan's just, a lot of times, he's happy to help his boys out anyway.
Yeah, for the time being, until he's out of his contract and get the fuck out of there.
Yep.
Because you know his ass is gone. Yo.
He's actually been really teasing CMLL, which has fascinated me. But they do work a style that I could see him being safer doing.
He's going to do that real dope shit. It's going to be good. Because I remember when Zack Sabre Jr. went down to CMLL once. And he had this, like, one wrestling clinic. Who is he facing again?
I don't think I've seen any CMLL stuff. I know he's wrestled Hechi Cerro and Raul Mendoza down there. Whenever his name pops up, all the luchadors who know their shit want to wrestle Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah. It was
same thing with, like, Kojima and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is rare for them to kind of, I think over the last few years, only lately have they been starting to get more and more U.S. and Japanese guys down there trying out different things. So it's cool for them.
Yeah. But it'll be insane if Daniel Bryan ends up going to ROH. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, that would deliver WWE a little bit of a hit. I'm not going to lie. That probably would dent them a little bit.
Well, they seem to be taking hits all over the place. No, they're still such a multi-million-dollar company, it's hard to notice, but it does seem like things are kind of wearing them down.
Yeah, even though their stock prices are going up, you can still see the effect, just because by the ratings and everything, you know?
I wonder what's making their stock go up, though. The ratings are not good. They're not buzzworthy. I don't know if something else is happening that... Maybe it's their stuff outside WWE that's helping the stock prices.
Maybe it's streaming merchandise.
Maybe, oh, yeah.
Because merch has always been pretty good for WWE. Streaming has increased, I believe. But not to, like, an exponential level, but it's gradually increasing.
Yeah, I can see that. And I know they do produce movies. I guess they must make somewhat of a profit off of their films.
Yeah, because you know why? Because they pick the fucking low-budget shit. That's why. I remember, what was that one movie with the goddamn kid with the electromagnetic power?
That was the one that came out this year, right?
Yeah, the black kid.
I want to say Slight, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's Slight, because it's sleight of hand. Get it? Because he was pretending to be a magician.
Yeah, but, yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, that was low budget. Really low budget. It wasn't like a box office, like, blockbuster, but they definitely, like, got enough they more than doubled their money on that one, so not a problem at all. But going back to SmackDown, it was a 6-woman tag. Charlotte, Naomi and Becky Lynch faced Natalya, Lana and Tamina Snuka. Match was okay. Ended up being Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Naomi that picked up the victory on that one. After that, of course, they had Pulp Fashion with Breezango that went down. This one was funny. They were talking about a Royale Rumble with cheese, and of course the Ascension were there trying to be their best friends, but of course they shunned them as usual. After that, Baron Corbin came out, and he ended up having to face Sin Cara in a non-title match. He talked a whole bunch of bullshit before that, but as Sin Cara, he's facing Sin Cara, Sin Cara goes to the top rope after he knocks Baron Corbin out of the ring. Actually, he gets on the top, the post, and he leaps off and hits him with a crossbody, comes back into the goddamn ring, and actually wins the match via countout. So, Sin Cara has a surprise win against Baron Corbin.
I think it's weird that he was on television.
Yeah, that is weird, right? After that, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin interrupted an interview with Renee Young and the Usos. They reached their hands out for the Usos to shake it, but then quickly took their hands away like assholes. Now the Usos are pissed. There was another vignette with the Bludgeon Brothers that happened.
I do like that name, though. I do.
The Bludgeon Brothers. It feels like the Bash Brothers, but just dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, Jinder Mahal came out and talked his bullshit. And as he was talking his shit, he basically said he's beaten everybody that's worth beating in SmackDown. So he's looking to Survivor Series, where you can face anybody from the opposing brand. And he said he wanted to face Brock Lesnar. So,
I swear to God, if he beats Brock Lesnar, there is...
So, yes.
There is no justice.
It looks like that may happen. They later announced that Brock will have an answer for him on Raw next week. But before that segment was over, AJ Styles came out and interrupted Jinder as he was still trying to talk some more shit, and said that he hasn't beaten him yet. Jinder tried to play it off like he's not worth his time, but of course AJ Styles decided to fight back. After that, Bobby Roode faced Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler won via tight grabbing. Later, they announced that AJ Styles would face, I believe, Sunil next week for SmackDown. So basically, Jinder Mahal is avoiding AJ Styles for the time being, I guess.
So he wants Brock Lesnar, but he's avoiding AJ Styles?
Yes, yes, that's basically what it is.
I mean, this doesn't make any logical sense. In what world would you call out Brock Lesnar and duck AJ Styles? I mean, one's going to destroy him in a maybe three-star match tops. The other will carry him through the best match of his career, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The writing is, once again, weird. But, you know, WWE logic, I try not to think too hard about it.
Yeah. Shinsuke, in the main event, Shinsuke faced, and Randy Orton faced Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was cheating throughout the whole match. Even taking one for the team for Owens, pulling him out of the way, all this shit. Randy Orton actually put him through the announce table with that back body drop shit. But somehow Sammy would later be able to recover, get back in the ring. As the ref is distracted, hits him in the groin. And Randy ends up in the corner. Haluva kick, 1, 2, 3. Sammy pinned Randy Orton. So both of them were celebrating, going up the ramp. Went to the back. Daniel Bryan was with them, and he was they were gloating in front of him. And that what they asked him what he had left for them to face, and they said that they'd have to answer to Shane McMahon next week. But you think that'd be the end of the show? But no. They cut back to Shinsuke and Randy Orton getting out of the ring, about to walk up the ramp, only for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to come back out on the stage and gloat even more. And that ended up being the end of the night. So that was SmackDown.
So they got Kevin Owens being the bully again, and now he's got his best friend with him.
Yep.
See, that's writing I can get behind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best writing they have right now.
Quick note, Kevin Owens was on, I think, the recent episode of Edge and Christian's podcast. Mm-hmm. So that one was pretty good. I believe in that podcast, Edge said that he had actually at one time, it might have been Edge, that he texted Triple H when he thought Sami Zayn wasn't getting much to do, and said, "You should turn Sami Zayn heel." And he said that Triple H's response was like, "That's a dumb idea." I believe that's what Edge said. I might be thinking of a different podcast, but I think that was him. But that one was all right. He also talked about the fact that Kevin Owens, the town when they were at, was it Hell in a Cell? I guess there was it a basketball game in the same city? It might have been. There was a big sporting game, so the hotel he had booked for him and his parents was, like, overbooked. He was able to get a room, but he had to share it with his parents, and he decided to sleep on the floor the night before Hell in a Cell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That one, I'm like, well, damn. It's not much of a rest before, you know, you're getting put through tables and fighting in a fucking Hell in a Cell. But, yeah, it's a pretty good one. All right, that's it. I guess it's time to talk about TLC then. TLC. Let me pull out the card.
Tables, ladders, and those chairs.
Yes.
Or as Drew Gulak says, TLC as in the girl group.
Yes. T-Bone, Left Eye, and Chili.
No, T-Boz. T-Boz.
T-Boz. That's right. T-Boz. Sorry. I should know this. I had their first album on a fucking cassette tape. That's how old I am. All right, here we go. All right, matches. Pre-show match, we have Alicia Foxe versus The Boss, Sasha Banks.
Oh, wow.
Yep, they got the pre-show.
Sasha we on have, the pre-show.
Huh?
Who would have thunk it?
Well, they actually, all in total, have 3 women's matches, so that's actually pretty decent.
Okay.
All right. Next we have, and I'm just going on the order of Wikipedia, Alexa Bliss defending her title against Mickie James.
And I forgot, there's supposed to be, like, a Drew, and I said Drew Gulak because he's supposed to have a presentation on the pre-show as well.
Sounds good to me. I think Mickie James, I don't know if this was recent, but I think was she inducted in some sort of a Native American Hall of Fame thing?
Yeah, she was at some Native American event this past weekend, I think, yeah.
Mickie James is still a very talented wrestler, and hopefully, I look forward to this match. Hopefully, it'll be good. All right. This has to be the fucking main event, so I'm going to call this one last. All right, I'm moving on. The Demon, Finn Balor, or as we're calling him now, Pumpkin Spice Demon Finn Balor.
Yes.
Versus terrible writing decision, Bray Wyatt. Hopefully, this is the last of this. We got the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann. Two dope boys. No, sorry. All right. Callisto defending his...
There used to be a hip-hop blog that I used to go to all the time back in, like...
Yeah, the one that Tyler, the Creator, used to always insult.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. But that was my shit, though, because I'm not going to lie. Like, that blog from, like, I want to say 2007 to, like, 2009 was, like, my go-to to get some real hip-hop shit. And I'm putting in quotes and whatnot because, you know, whatever.
Well, hip-hop, rap, it's all... As someone my age, it evolves and changes so quick and rapidly that if you don't keep up with it, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
Callisto defending the WWE Cruiserweight Championship against Enzo Amore. We have the debutant Asuka coming to destroy Emma.
Yep.
And then what surely is the main event, because if this isn't the main event, there's no God, really, because I don't know. The Shield of Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, the tag team champions, and Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman, The Miz, Kane, and then The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus. And rumor, there might be a 6th member of their team. I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah. I've been hearing something online about them having a 6th member on their team. I think 5 is enough. Because if the person I'm hearing rumored is true, then the Shield shouldn't last more than 2 minutes. But I heard someone say it was Samoa Joe will be making his return at this pay-per-view, so we'll see.
He wasn't, like, due back till, like, November.
No. So, maybe. Maybe it's just one of those unfounded internet rumors.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then again, Kane came back, so who knows? And they lied about Braun Strowman's last injury. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
but that is
back quick as shit from that.
Yeah. But that's TLC. I mean, the matches sound okay, other than the Demon and Sister Abigail. But this is another one. Really feels like a one-card show with the main event.
One-match show. One-match.
What's up?
You said one-card show.
Yeah. The main event.
One match.
Yeah, the one match. One-match show. I mean, I'm happy to see the women doing 3 on here. I worry about Callisto versus Enzo Amore, but it's kind of cool. There's 2 205 Live matches on here, so that's cool. And, you know, props to Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann getting on a fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah, man, finally.
Yeah, but technically, there's actually, not counting the pre-show matches, there's only 6 matches here, so I would not be surprised if you found if we had a 7th match. Yeah. All right, so that is it for TLC. Do some quick New Japan notes. Power Struggle. The Road to Power Struggle, I believe, started today. The first show that will be hit in the airwaves will be on the 21st, which is just the Yuji Nagata and the Nakanishi 25th anniversary. Yeah, and really, that's the only match on that card probably worth checking out. But on the 23rd, which is a Monday, there are 2 matches on the Korakuen show that have must-watch possibilities, as they're the first 2 matches of the tag tournament. which includes the new junior heavyweight tag team champions, Roppongi 3K, Sho and Yo, taking on Kushida, teaming up with the young lion, Hirai Kawato. But in the main event, LIJ's Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi will be taking on Teton and Dragon Lee. And you know, when you got Dragon Lee and Takahashi in the same ring,
yeah,
you worry somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
So that one's on the 23rd. So, I mean, the rest of the card looks okay. But those matches are the ones really worth checking out. Yep, and that's all I'm going to do for cards. So let me go to news now, since I got some New Japan news that ties in.
News.
Yes. Here we go. All right, first up, the actual Power Struggle card is already sold out.
Really?
It's sold out before the tour, yes. On the Power of, well, I mean, the whole card was out before it sold out, but I think a lot of it has to do with Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi on top of the card. So, yeah, that's a... Well, actually, I think the rest of the card's getting filled up, but the main matches are on there. But yeah, it's sold out, so congrats on another sellout. And I also have details on the Young Lions Cup tournament that's running through New Japan right now. They did the first three matches of the Round Robin tournament at the Lionsgate Project, which I watched only those three matches. Hirai Kawato, who's looks like right now of the prop, he's the junior that everybody likes. He could do a springboard dropkick. He looks pretty good. He defeated Ren Narita, who was the first time I saw Ren, and he was okay. Katsuya Kitamaro, and I should say that of the first show, all the likely winners won. Katsuya Kitamaro, the tanned, big-ass buff dude, went Goldberg at the end of his match with Tetsuhiro Yagi. He hit him with the spear and beat him with the jackhammer. So I guess that's his finish now, right? But first time seeing Tetsuhiro Yagi, he's a bit lanky, but he's about the same height as Kitamaro, so he could probably go heavyweight if he chooses. And the last of those three matches was Tomoyuki Oka, who looks like someone told him he had old man hair for a 20-year-old and shaved that shit. And he defeated the son of Red Shoes, Seota Umino, and that was a pretty good match. And then they announced all the rest of the matches. So they'll continue at the next Lionsgate project, which will be after Power Struggle, which will give Oka some time because he had some ligament issues in his knee, so he had to be out for a few weeks. And then after that, they're actually going to finish all of the matches on the road to, they'll do two sets of matches on the road to Wrestle Kingdom shows and then finish at the Lionsgate Project 10 right before the big show next year. So that's a little bit on the Young Lions Cup. And this is the first time they've done this tournament in years past. Now, on to other news. I mentioned there was AAW had the Jim Lyman Memorial Tournament. Michael Elgin beat Jeff Cobb in the finals to win it. Nice. So congratulations to Elgin. Elgin also, his company, Glory Pro, did their last show of the year, which I think this was their seventh show overall. It had the Lucha Brothers taking on Besties in the World and stuff like that, and Myron Reed lost the title to Jake Something, and that's his actual name, Jake Something. Some of these guys are Elgin students, but Elgin was teasing all that weekend that he would have a huge match to announce for their first anniversary show next February, and I mean, I was like, okay, but when he announced it, I'm like, holy shit, who comes up with this? But seriously, all right, so this is the big match that's going to headline that show or be the main attraction, and I'll give you a clue. First of all, it's a guy, it's a black wrestler who's on Lucha Underground. Want to take a guess?
A.R. Fox?
Yes. Versus one of the biggest wrestlers that's not signed in WWE in all the world right now.
Ricochet?
No, bigger.
Kenny Omega?
Close. Damn, but he's not white.
Not white. Kota Ibushi?
Bigger.
Fuck. Shit, I don't know.
Tetsuya Naito.
Naito? What the fuck?
How'd that yes. How'd they, he called how'd they in some New Japan favors and got Naito to show up at his indie promotion to wrestle AR Fox.
Wow.
And this is the month after Wrestle Kingdom. Wow. He may be the champion.
Wow.
That's a pretty intense match, right? I mean, can you imagine AR Fox is probably like, shit, I gotta go hard on this match. But if Naito's the champion, he's gonna be working that shit like he's trying to get a contract, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He also announced Trevor Lee will be doing, will be debuting, and Lufisto will be there. Elgin's gonna be trying to get his female students, more work. He's, one of his female students, Savannah Stone, has wrestled the last show. She will be wrestling Lufisto on this show. I've been meaning to watch some more. I saw the first Glory Pro show, and it was pretty good, so. And I heard that the shows have just been getting better. I've been meaning to watch the one with Donovan Dijak versus Naomichi Marufuji, though. Because that one just sounds insane. And Marufuji pretty much killed his chest. But then again, I think anybody who's ever wrestled Marufuji had their chest caved in by him. Yeah. Outside of that, we have... I guess let me do this ROH stuff real quick. There was the four ROH shows. There were no title changes. The reviews were pretty good. But Mark Briscoe suffered an injury really early into his match against Takahashi. It's an elbow injury. He'll be out for a month or two. Dalton Castle returned and attacked Cody. This is after Cody responded to Roman Reigns' bit about how if you don't draw 100K, then you're just being silly. Even though Roman Reigns has never had to draw 100K by his own self. So, like, I like Roman. But... yeah, you were on top at a WrestleMania for 100K. It's fucking WrestleMania. Now, if you tell me you drew 75,000 on a secondary pay-per-view where there's no other major stars on the rest of the show, I'll buy that shit. But not WrestleMania. WrestleMania sells WrestleMania, for God's sakes. But yep, Dawson Castle attacked Cody. Jay Briscoe actually made his return. Jimmy Jacobs showed up on the last night and got another picture with the Bullet Club. They sold out all four nights, by the way, so good on Ring of Honor. So, yeah, they had a good four shows. All right, Ryback said some dumb shit online about female wrestling fans.
Yeah, like clockwork.
Yeah, so less said about that, better. And, there's been some argument because some people still don't believe wrestlers can make money outside WWE, but apparently Austin Aries tweeted out that he'll be making more money in his first 6 weeks back on the indies than he did in his last 4 months working for WWE, which is fascinating. And similarly, Cody has said that his time away from the promotion has been more financially lucrative to him. But some guy just a little while ago was tweeting out how Cody and Young Bucks are all lying about their money, and Cody actually responded. He said, and this is short for what he said, "Hate to be tacky, but I make triple per match now versus when I was with WWE, and ROH offered me double my downside." So,
wow.
Yep.
Okay.
So he is making more money. But for some reason there is a group of wrestling fans who hate the idea that wrestlers can make money outside WWE. I don't know why that is. I don't care why that is. What's important is that people are making money outside WWE. And, yep, that's it. That's all I got.
And Ben goes Dynamite. Alright, time for my new shit. Alright, yeah, stuff happened. I forgot, there was other New Japan stuff. Did you see that, I guess they had promotional, like, screenshots for, like, a weird game they have coming out?
Oh, the horse racing game,
yeah,
I saw that.
The horse racing shit. That. Like, what the fuck? Do you have Tanahashi, like, strapped to a fucking, like, IC belt as, like, a whole belt. Like, so he's, like, connected to the belt. So he's just, like, it's really fucking weird, man. I don't know.
What do you know, like, if it's like an arcade game or it's like a console game or a handheld game?
I don't know. I can look it up. I think they were talking about it on a website.
Because they have another game they've been developing for a while, too. And I don't even know what platform that's supposed to be on.
And I know they showed up for Yakuza 6 or something. Yeah. Huh. Oh, okay. There might be some problems with the tag tournament. It sounds like Matt Riddle might not be doing the New Japan Tag Tournament after all.
No, no. Because he got signed by WWE. I'm joking. No, he didn't.
Yeah, it's saying that he's taking bookings around that time, too. But then again, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Well, that sucks.
Maybe something came up. Maybe they couldn't clear him or something. Yeah, who knows? Where is the fucking thing about that video game?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll look for it. You keep going.
Yeah, and apparently, and to continue with the Neville news, apparently he never asked, he never, like, left Raw, like, last week. He just wasn't there. So, that rumor that he walked out was not really true, but he is still, but according to Meltzer, he is 100% done with WWE for the most part. What else? And yeah, they say he's gone, and then now there's even rumors with Nia Jax, because now it was rumored that she walked out, and but it was reported that she may be unhappy with her position, but also stated that she may have taken personal leave to deal with some shit. So who knows what the fuck is going on.
Well, they have been dicking her around. She should be the champion by now.
They have been dicking her around for a little bit. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Honestly, I don't even get what this Mickey James, like, match ended up having to be inserted into all of this shit too. Over Nia Jax, but I don't know. I guess we'll fucking see. I don't fucking know, but hopefully, I don't know, if Nia Jax doesn't, you know what would be fucking crazy? Nia Jax leaves WWE and goes to Stardom, and then, her being an attraction at Stardom builds Stardom up even bigger than it is now. That would actually be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they could do it. I mean, they are essentially the top women's promotion in the world right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of women, Alicia Fox, she actually has a fucking t-shirt now. It's called Crazy Like a Fox, and of course it's like a furry version of herself on it. So, of course. So, good on her for finally getting a fucking t-shirt. And a bunch of other women actually had WWE tryouts this past Friday. Including Karen Q, who does a lot of Women of Honor stuff. And Madison Rain. So, yeah, she had a tryout.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting, she has a tryout, and then, I think her boyfriend is, fucking Josh Matthews. I remember Josh Matthews kept talking shit about WWE, for, like, a while. But, like, as soon as she had a tryout, of course he, sang praises and whatnot, and whatever. But, I remember that shit. I remember when he was talking that shit.
The name of the company that put the game out is called Umabi. I think they're just a Japanese. They have some sort of entertainment platform in Japan.
Yeah, it's probably.
But the racing game is the only one of two games they put out. They put a dating sim out for Togi Makabe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can win the heart of Togi Makabe.
Sweets.
Yep, Mr. Sweets.
Yeah, sweets, man.
Yeah,
sweets. What else? What else is new?
Goldberg was on this past week's episode of The Goldbergs. But apparently he's going to guest star in a few more episodes. I think he's supposed to be like either like a coach or gym teacher or some shit. But yeah, he's gonna be on that show more often. So that's good on him, man, getting those TV roles. And other big men news. Titus, I had no idea this happened, but apparently Titus is being sued by a cameraman. I guess there was like an episode of Swerve that happened. There was like some type of incident, and I think the camera got knocked out of the guy's hand or whatever, and he hurt his wrists or some shit like that. And he said he had irreparable damage or some bullshit, whatever. But the cameraman was just straight up suing Titus, and now I guess his lawyers decided to talk him into suing WWE as well. Which is, yeah, he fucked up doing that shit, because he's probably going to lose. Because WWE doesn't lose cases.
Except if it's wrongful death lawsuits.
Shh, shh, that didn't happen.
Not according to them.
Shh, that didn't happen. Anyway, Big Ram... He basically called, Shane McMahon a spoiled brat for his, Hell in a Cell stunt.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, shut the fuck up, Billy.
Basically
Graham.
Said he's hurting whatever other wrestlers and shit by doing so, and I guess taking people's spots and other stuff like that. I'm like, okay.
No, see, Shane McMahon is important now because... Now that Vince can't really go as... Well, he could never go. But, you know, wrestling Vince or Shane, that used to be, like, the shit to help you take to the next level, right?
Shit, I mean, that... Just Sammy being involved in that shit has stepped him as... Has increased his stock so much.
Yeah. So,
like...
I mean, and Kevin Owens goes very specific in that podcast I was talking about how... important it is to, like, he said that he was the Universal Champion, but he never felt like he was really a top guy, but The thing with Vince McMahon and the thing with Shane McMahon, that got him, gets him to the next level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, shit, I'm pretty sure every wrestler actually would like to work with any of those guys. I mean, and let's be honest, AJ, two matches this year, I'd argue 4.5 stars and up, each of them.
Yeah, and in anything, and in, it's been a thing for, like, at least 16, 17 years with Shane, that the fact that any, like, major match that he's been in has been somewhat memorable. Of course, you go back to Shane versus Kurt Angle.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
Legendary.
Yes.
Shane versus Big Show was dope as fuck. Who else? Shane versus Kane in the ambulance match. That shit was dope as fuck. That whole feud was dope as fuck.
Didn't he fight Steve Blackman too?
Yeah, like, Steve Blackman was the one.
Match with him.
Yeah, Steve Blackman. That was the one where he hit him with the kendo stick and Shane fell off of the that tall rig next to the Titantron and shit.
Yes. Shane McMahon got a 3-star match out of a helicopter. The man's a genius.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah, I think Billy Graham's full of shit. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck. Fuck him.
Yeah, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they've only just benefited from this.
Yeah.
And that's what really matters, is getting guys over, getting guys to the next level. Getting guys to the point where you... Where... Their stock has risen so much that they're selling even more merch.
Right.
The thing about I noticed about these guys is they don't, because they have this idea that things need to work the same way they when they were their age or whatever. And the thing is, it's still like all stuff still technically works. It's just being adapted to a new audience. It has to be fresh, and the athletes are different. It's still the same concepts. It's still about getting guys over, of figuring out a new way to do heels versus faces.
Yeah.
It all still works, but they want it to be done in the exact same way, and you can't do that.
You gotta adapt with the times, man.
Yes. We're still doing wrestling like wrestling was. It's just... Yeah. It's got a new quarterback. It's like,
and people don't realize
comics. We just keep rebooting, but it's the same story.
And people don't realize that, like, look at other media has adapted the same way. Like, that wrestling, like, contemporary wrestling has. You have contemporary wrestling whereas the faces aren't really, like, straight-up happy-go-lucky motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And all that stuff like that. Even the heels are likable in some sort of way. You look at media, you look at TV shows, movies, a lot of the protagonists are either really antagonists or fucking dicks or whatever, and that's the new norm for the most part with a lot of these more popular shows. They aren't saints, they're not fucking like goody two shoes characters. It's not the same way.
A lot of the good guys have a little bit of
an edge to
gray
it
in them, and a lot of the bad guys either have to be really bad or have to be somewhat sympathetic.
Exactly.
To work.
Right.
But it's still the same story. It's just adapted to a new audience with the new players.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing with the skill level. I mean, they complain about how wrestlers move, how wrestlers tangle, how wrestlers flip. But if you look at any sport, the athletes today are faster than the athletes 10 years ago. They jump higher. They move quicker. I mean, I've never been a big sports guy, but I remember Michael Jordan in his prime. I mean, you got guys who are, you know, just as good as Michael Jordan was then as they is, you know, today. And that was something that no one thought would ever happen. But then you look at the entirety of basketball, I would argue there's better players now overall than there were back in my when I was younger. And it's the same thing with football, hockey, gymnasts. All these athletes also improve with what they do in wrestling, but it always still comes down to what the wrestling is. It's either a competition on who's better or the good guy versus the bad guy. It's still that.
Yeah.
It just so happens that sometimes the competitive nature can take the form of a comedy match. You never know. It's still the same concept. That's the one thing I always liked about why I still like Paul Heyman in a lot of ways. He understands that.
Yeah.
A lot of these other guys don't.
Alright, and what else? Dana White. Apparently he came forward. Apparently there was that rumor last week that Conor McGregor could possibly end up having something to do with WrestleMania. Apparently Dana White quelled those rumors and said there has been no talks for Conor McGregor at all to be part of anything having to do with WWE. So, yeah. Well, which is always something he fucking says.
A quick note, apparently the voice of Boston, the Boston Celtics, watches New Japan, because he got caught up into I guess he follows Dave Meltzer, right?
Yeah.
And someone was asking Meltzer about how Japanese commentators, because, you know, were they heel and face roles, or are they more sports broadcasters? And he said that, and Meltzer was like, the broadcast with the mentality of the NBA radio announcing crew. And then the dude, Sean Grande from the Boston Celtics, says, this is ironic, as I've always felt, Max and I call games with the mentality of New Japan announcers. So I just thought that was a little amusing, a cross between, you know, all over with wrestling and sports.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Boston, you heard about Gordon Hayward, right?
Yeah, oh, it was all over thing. I also saw them roasting that one fool who was kind of turned it into a thing about LeBron James.
You
know,
Skip Bayless. Yeah, Skip Bayless is a fucking asshole. He always does that because he has, like, a hard-on for, like, LeBron, so he always finds something to say about LeBron when it doesn't have anything to fucking do with LeBron. So I was like, that was very ill-fucking-timed, period.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But,
I think there was a whole Twitter moment of them just roasting his ass.
Yeah, but still, like, that... I watched that clip multiple times, man. You could hear it fuck. So, like, he dislocated the ankle and broke the bottom of, like, the tibia. That shit is fucking sick. I think they were able to snap his ankle back into place.
Yeah.
But he still has that broken... He still has that broken bone. Like, leg bone, so... Fuck. Hopefully he gets well soon.
Yeah, that's... I can't watch those injuries. I think after I saw Sid Vicious break his ankle, I could never really watch an injury like that ever again.
Yeah, Sid Vicious, did he break an ankle, or did he break the straight up, like, leg? Because I think it was, like, lower leg. That was more lower leg than ankle.
He can walk still, so, but I thought he almost broke the whole ankle off. It was limp. You could see it limping.
Yeah,
on
the side. It was above. Now I'm saying it was above that break was definitely above the ankle. Like, he straight up broke that leg. That shit was
Let me see. Oh, Sid Vicious' leg. Thank you, Google, for telling me. I don't need to see the. Oh my god, that was above. Oh my.
That's what I'm saying. That shit was above the fucking ankle, man. That shit was nasty.
Yeah, that
He rolls his leg up and it was just fucking dangling.
Thank you, screenshot. I didn't need to see that again.
It was crazy. Yo, and I remember it. And I remember Paul George when he was with the Pacers, I think it was like 2013 or some shit like that, where he went for a dunk and hit corner of like the hoop and the floor, which was the worst area to just crash down on, and fucking broke his whole goddamn leg. That shit was, and then it's not like he had like a boot, or it's not like he had a boot or like pants to like cover up the break. You could straight up see that shit was broken, like skin and all. Ew, oh, that was nasty. And then Anderson Silva. I remember Anderson Silva. What happened to him?
Yeah. Was he the MMA guy?
Yeah. When he went for that, kick and the other dude checked him. I think it was Chris Weidman checked him. You know, just like raising your leg to like kind of like defend against the kick. And then
I'm about to type in Anderson Silva. It offers me Anderson Silva leg.
And it just
like,
shattered.
He knows what you want.
And then his leg fucking shattered. Like,
oh god, I remember that.
That shit almost wrapped. That shit almost wrapped around Chris Weidman's leg. That's how much impact that was. It was crazy. God damn. Oh man. All right, we're staying away from wrestling, but with all these leg break shits.
Yeah.
Oh man, this shit got me.
This is a memory lane of bad injuries.
Yeah, but you know what? I went to Anderson Silva, and I'm about to talk about some more MMA shit. Why? Because it looks like CM Punk is training for a second MMA fight.
Can you give me a second? I need to talk to CM Punk. Punk, listen. People are making money in wrestling that aren't in WWE. Just do it.
Just
I know
wrestle.
We're all tired of the Bullet Club. Just go put a fucking Bullet Club shirt on.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Sign a New Japan contract.
No. Like, don't, like, I'm not a big fan of CM Punk, but please, God, don't do that to him. No, don't make him, like, join fucking Bullet Club.
Well, I mean, the only other option I would like for him to do is Los Ingobernables, but I don't see that working. He could go
actually,
solo.
That,
all I'm saying
that actually
is,
makes a
just
little
go
bit
to
of sense,
fucking
though.
ROH in New Japan. They will hire you. Yeah. They will put you in the ring with Okada. You may not be the top guy, but you will make money. And you know how big that would be for them to when they tour back in the state to have fucking CM Punk?
CM Punk, yeah.
Can you just imagine CM Punk versus Kenny Omega, WrestleMania weekend, New Japan show? Can you imagine that? They could probably sell a 10,000 seater on that one.
Yeah. CM Punk, he's got to do it. He's got to do it. But
he's
got
to go back to wrestling.
Yeah, he has to. Yeah,
I mean the amount of money he would. I mean, can you imagine the payday just for one night?
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem. I don't think people can afford him. Like some places can't afford him. I don't know. I don't even know if Ring of Honor can afford him just because of how stingy fucking Sinclair is.
Well, apparently they pay good for Cody. I can imagine they pulled a little bit more out for Punk.
For Punk, you think so?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they paid him millions, but if he came back, if he did ROH, and plus, and whatever, like, super indie would probably dig into their accounts, and maybe, you know, like, I don't know, a random New Japan tour, he'd probably make a real good amount of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I also think he's probably in a position now where, yeah, I think he would make good money. He would make better money than Cody would, and you know, does.
Yeah.
Probably better than the Bucks.
Yeah.
Now, if he signed like a full time contract, like Kenny has in freaking New Japan, and proved really valuable, he'd probably be. He could make at least $500,000 a year, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, because you talked about like Carl Anderson was talking about he was making six figures, probably on the low end of six figures though. And he was living in Japan, so they didn't have to fly out. But
that's still good money, though. Still real good money.
Yeah, I mean, they're paying Okada something like $2 million a year.
Shit.
I can't... I'm assuming... I mean, I don't know how the merchandise deal works. I don't know how much they get that much off of it. But I imagine Kenny Omega's probably making on... I would imagine the high end, at least of the six figures. I mean, you know they're not paying Tanahashi that... less than $1 million, I don't think.
No, I don't think so, yeah.
And same Naito. And Omega's arguably their the fourth guy in Japan, the number one guy outside of Japan.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega doesn't need to go to WWE.
Yeah.
But he probably would go there just to prove a point.
And what else?
Lucha Underground season finale and possible series finale is happening in a minute, so it'll be over by this time. You hear this. There has been no word on a fourth season.
Yeah, it's probably going to be over. R.I.P. And I heard that there's been like really dope matches that's been going on Lucha Underground.
Oh, apparently the last Dante Fox Killshot match was insane.
I heard.
Like, they were buzzing about it. People were like, someone responded to Voice of Wrestling, like, you guys remember Lucha Underground? What happened to them? Someone's like, they just had they just had Dante Fox for a kill shot. Y'all you got to go look that up.
Yeah, I heard. And then after that, they won the trios title.
Yeah, teamed up with the Mac. I'm probably gonna watch the when he gets on Netflix. I'll probably watch the last four episodes.
Yeah,
on
I definitely need to check that out once that comes out.
Yeah, see, the kill that this season is, it started to build steam during, because season three kind of was rocky, and then it started to build steam, and then it had that multiple months off, and I just couldn't get back into the groove of watching it, because then it started off slow again.
See, you know what? You know what? Why I haven't gotten into it? Because I never had it on fucking TV.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I never had it fucking El Rey, so what the fuck was I supposed to do? Just go and try to watch that shit, like, on a bootleg site? Like, all the time? No, I don't, like... That's one thing I don't have time for anymore. I used to do that shit all the time with that and Tokusatsu shows, you know, the Super Sentai and, like, Kamen Rider shits and a whole bunch of other shit like that. And these days, like, yeah, I'm not, like, trying to go out of my way to do that shit, especially when you got these pop-ups and shit they got to deal with sometimes and a whole bunch of
I use PrimeWire. I have to deal with pop-ups and other stuff, but... Yeah. Still get my shit, but yeah, I get it. Yeah. But yeah, it should be on Netflix hopefully sometime soon.
Yeah, I guess. And then more Bullet Club type stuff. Apparently even the Young Bucks dad has joined in on the fun with the whole cease and desist shit, because he has a song on iTunes called Cease and Desist.
It looks like and there was something I thought was interesting. I thought they were selling it, but it might have just been a Ring of Honor thing, but they gave out these, like, censored, like, almost rings to give to people.
Yeah.
So when they put it on, they pretended to do the Too Sweet, and it had just had censored over their hand.
Nice.
So there were a whole row of people at ROH. I checked the Young Bucks merch. It wasn't on there. I don't know if it maybe was just a one-time thing for the iPay-per-view, but I thought it was very impressive.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I'll definitely give him that. Even though Bullet Club's annoying as fuck to me, I'll give them. They know
American Bullet Club.
Yeah, American Bullet Club. Actually,
God's just chilling in Japan.
I don't even fuck with Folly like that anymore. Because he liked a tweet by Donald Trump, and that turned me off.
Yeah. I'm still following him on Instagram, but I took him off of Twitter.
Yeah, I had to unfollow him on that. I was like, come on, man. Come on, man. Like, you Polynesian, man. You can't be doing that shit, man. Come on.
No.
That's like some Polynesian coonery right there. Anyway,
it's weird. It seems like other countries, they think because they have this weird fascination with Trump, you know, unless they're politicians, in which case they generally don't like Trump.
Yeah,
but the people are always sort of fascinated by him.
You know what? And then the one weird thing is that, especially because a lot of other places are like heavy into like conservatism, so yeah, they pride themselves on like traditionalist shit, you know. Trump is, like, the biggest hypocrite when it comes to that shit, because he is not, like, as a human being, he's not anything a conservative should be championing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, especially all this talk about how we need to support the troops when he himself does not. I mean, he's disrespecting a lot jackass of people, man. To the troops.
Yeah, he's been disrespecting a lot of fucking people. Gold yeah, Star I don't families. Like we... McCain, who else? The Gold Star mom, of the soldier who just died, one of the soldiers who just died in fucking Niger.
Yeah.
He disrespected it by talking about, oh, he knew what he signed up for. What the fuck does that mean? Like, come on, dude. Can't be saying that type of shit.
He has no empathy in him, and that's
none.
Like,
I honestly think he's a sociopath.
Yeah.
And they ask you the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath. A psychopath is pretty much aware that they're fucking, like, crazy, but they don't give a shit. But a sociopath, it's more like they lack the empathy for it, and they're not really aware that they're fucking crazy. You know?
And the worst part is these Christians that back him like he's a real Christian man. Of course, they back a lot of people who just aren't charitable, empathetic individuals like Jesus was supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because to get in the... You know what? I think it's mostly... this wealth, this like Bible belt that harps on wealth and the wealth gospel and all this other bullshit. I think that's what a lot of it's the preachers too. They're the ones who kind of like harp on this bullshit, even though they have the fucking book right in front of them. You know, like it's just a big fucking mess, dude.
I have no problem with religion. I have a problem with a lot of the people who tried to preach it, because religion has been used so badly by a lot of people. I mean, especially, we don't, like, a lot of black folks don't like to talk about it, but the slave owners used to claim the Bible made slavery a right.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck off with this nonsense. I don't think Jesus didn't have slaves, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we can go on about this forever, but we still got more news, so I'm gonna keep going. According to Joe Koff, in an interview with the AV Club, an ROH streaming service is actually in the works. So they're going for it.
Hopefully it'll work out better than the the TNA one? Apparently their site goes down quickly and their player is crap.
Wow. You know one player that is complete trash? Fucking CW. CW has the worst video player, period.
I haven't used it in a few years. I know I know the commercial bits that kind of stopped it were annoying me for a bit, but
like they have commercials that will like play and then like start freezing up. And then once those commercials start freezing up and then they finally get back to the regular scheduled programming, the regular scheduled programming starts getting fucked up. So, like, it's like the transition between commercial back to programming fucks the whole player up. Because, like, it'll go smooth in the beginning and then just crash once you hit some point where it has to change. It's fucking terrible.
I mean, it's really weird because before they went to the CW player, they were still going through everything through a WB website.
Yeah.
Back when the CW was still the WB.
Yeah.
And their player and engine stuff were actually still really, really good.
Huh.
And that was actually the only place I could watch Veronica Mars for a while, so I actually used it for a period of time.
Veronica Mars.
But, you know, sometimes they update shit and then they screw it up, because that's how things are.
Speaking of...
I think my favorite video players right now are both New Japan and WWE's website. They both have really good players.
Yeah, it's gotten better. Yeah, WWE's has definitely gotten better.
Yeah.
I remember when theirs was, like, trash in the beginning, like, the first, like, 4 months or so.
Yeah, if you weren't on at a... when no one else was on, you were... because they couldn't deal with the bandwidth, and they didn't even have that many people signed
right.
in comparison. But it was a bandwidth thing. YouTube's player seems to get worse every few years.
Yes, it actually has, yes. Because it's
speaking of YouTube,
longer.
I forgot this. They updated their monetary settings again. And now it's affecting the women's matches on stuff.
Yeah, I heard. Because AIW, like, apparently every single women's match they have, what is it says, are not suitable for most advertisers.
Apparently women's wrestling is a bad, bad thing.
They got skimpy outfits, blah, blah, blah. But the guys have skimpy outfits, too. Come on.
The guys are usually in more skimpy outfits and more likely to show some ass than the women are.
Yeah. It's fucking stupid, man. I don't know what the hell is
going on. And the men are usually more oiled and watered up before they start the match, too.
Yeah, man. I don't know what the fuck is going on. It's just dumb.
Yeah, fuck YouTube. I'm trying to think of any other live player. I've used the SmartMark video players pretty decent, too.
Okay.
Of course, those are only wrestling sites. I can't think of any, like, streaming sites I use online. I mean, I guess Netflix, but I just use my Bray player.
Yeah, Hulu is pretty good, too. Their shit's always quality. You got the whole,
Yeah, there's so many streaming players now. I'm wearing so many subscription things. I keep looking at Shudder and Filmstruck, and I'm like, I don't need this shit.
I was thinking about Shudder. I went for, like, a free trial on it, and then I realized, like, yeah, I'm not going to be watching this shit, like, year-round. Because, like, there's, like, two movies that I probably wanted to see on Shudder, and I could easily just kind of, like, get a bootleg version of it.
Yeah, the only movie I wanted to see on Shudder was the one nun horror film that's, like, still hard to find an uncensored copy of anywhere in the world.
The two I was looking for, the prequel to Train to Busan. You ever seen that one?
Nah, I've been meaning to.
It's
on my growing list of shit I need to
watch. Yeah, the Korean zombie. Like, that was a dope. That was a really dope one. But it's an animated prequel movie, so that's gonna be different. And then Kuso. I think I talked to you about that. I think it was who made it? Flying Lotus, music producer. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these ones, you're like, do they have the content for me to justify having this for more than a month?
Right.
So it's going to be weird to see how DC Warner Brothers does their thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just casted a Beast Boy for that show, too.
Oh, Asian Kid. Yeah, that's right. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice looking cast. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah. Surprisingly, people weren't as up in arms about the Starfire casting as I thought they would be.
They were that first day.
Yeah, it wasn't that. It didn't seem that bad to me. Like the outrage.
It could have been worse. But I did see some people say some dumb shit.
Yeah, people said a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah, I was actually more surprised with how many people were angry with the age of the girl playing Raven at 14.
Oh yeah.
And I got into this on my fucking thing. And one of the big problems I have with Gatekeeper, whether it's huh?
They wanted to lust over her, basically. That's
Yeah, they want her to be 17. But
fucking
it's one of the things, like, with comic books and professional wrestling, I know, is with gatekeepers, is they assume that you have to know everything from this specific particular date. I know the Teen Titans. I've read Teen Titans. I'm not a huge Titans fan, so I didn't know Raven was 17 in the original. I know her age has changed a bunch of times, so who cares? Yeah. And I didn't know Starfire was called Goldie in all of those books. Cause I don't remember fucking Robin calling her Goldie, but somebody was pulling some shit. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I hate that.
Same thing with wrestling ones. Like, well, you should have known this from this match, from this time, or you don't know wrestling if you didn't watch the Attitude Era. Like, shut the fuck up. This is what's killing casual fans, is your bitch ass. You want to talk about a boom period? Maybe let people find wrestling before you drive them out. Fucking gatekeeper wrestling fans and
the comic worst. Book
fans. Yeah.
The fucking worst. What else? Ric Flair apparently named his Mount Rushmore of wrestling. And of course, it consists of him.
Obviously.
Hulk Hogan, The Rock, and Stone Cold.
I don't necessarily argue with that, especially if we're talking just like Western or U.S. wrestling. That's a great four. Even though of the four, I would drop Hogan on bottom simply because he's more trash. But then again, I guess Stone Cold would be close to the bottom too because of some of the shit he's pulled.
Yeah.
I mean, of the four, I would argue The Rock is probably the most, I don't want to say nice, but the cleanest of all four of them.
Right.
But, yeah, it would be interesting to hear if he did one for all. Well, I don't know if he would do a different one if it was all over the world kind of thing. I think Flair could still make a route being Mount Rushmore if you consider all the greats of all time.
I think so.
I mean, I would. The only other guys, I put him and San Martino, Ricky Doan, and Santo. That's like the four right there in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that you're still makes, missing yeah, a lot of sense. Guys. Yeah.
I mean, because you got the king of Pro Wrestling, you got one of the main guys of Lucha Libre.
Yep.
You got the man, Ric Flair, who, I mean, let's be honest. Ric Flair, to me, has exceeded where Hogan is. I mean, he may have never had the Hogan boom period, but he had a longer, more substantial career than Hulk Hogan ever
had. And I think he had a wider influence.
Yes, especially in the black community. Yeah. Shit, anybody who wants to style and profile, you want to be a Ric Flair guy, right?
Yeah, who gave a fuck about Hogan?
Yeah.
Like,
and then, of course, San Martino for the classics.
Yeah, there's definitely way less Hogan bars than Ric Flair bars.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess you could swap out San Martino, but I pick him because of his importance for his era, too, because that's like the lead into classic WWE comp, too.
The longevity of his reign and his career. Yeah.
And, I mean, if you wanted to expand it, I mean, there's always the names. You got Freddie Blassie, Killer Kowalski, Stu Hart, Inoki, Gory Guerrero, fucking Mima, Mascara. But those four, I think, those four are, like, the super legends. I guess Johnny Saint would probably be also a super legend, too. If I had to make it five, maybe, I don't know. I don't know that much about European wrestling. Not enough. I honestly probably would have put Fit Finlay for European wrestling if I just had to randomly pick someone. Or Regal. I mean, I know Regal wouldn't see himself as the icon of European wrestling. And I think he's a little younger than Fit Finlay, so he remembers Fit Finlay when he was a superstar. And Fit Finlay was a third-generation wrestler at that time, too. So. Shit. Mount Rushmore.
What else happened? Apparently, Triple H's nutritionist insinuated that talent are allowed to take HGH, HCG, and testosterone replacement therapy. Basically saying that there could actually be a possible loophole in people when it comes to drug testing.
Huh.
The WWE. And this is
Triple H's. Good luck with that, I guess.
And this is Triple H's nutritionist. So, like, why the fuck is he saying that?
I don't think they test Triple H, though, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, but still, why the fuck is he saying this, period?
Like, yeah.
Like, I think that was a fucking dumb move. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he got fired for that shit.
Yeah, there. Some people need to just keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, what? Like, why open your fucking mouth about this shit? Like, come on, man. Be smart. But speaking of keeping their mouth shut, I guess now there's some beef between, like, a WWE seamstress and the Hardys.
I was about to say this, but then I was thinking, I bet Doomsday has this, so...
Yeah, so, like, apparently, like, somebody was, like, talking about Broken Hardy, and basically she said that Matt Hardy could die, basically wish death on him. And Rebby Sky, of course, she interjected. She's a hothead, so she started, like, fucking going off on the lady, and it was, like, this big, nasty back and forth going on and whatnot.
Ruby doesn't take shit from nobody.
Yeah, she really doesn't. So, like, she was really going at her. Apparently, they... And then, like, the lady kept calling them North Carolina trash and whatnot. Even though Rebby's not from North Carolina. She's from fucking New York. But...
An update on a little bit of news you said earlier. SmackDown's ratings were down, too.
Oh, that sucks.
Bad. Really down.
Yeah. You know what killed it? Fucking NBA.
Yes, yeah, that's...
NBA,
yeah,
NBA completely fucking crushed it, because you know what I mean?
Yeah, I heard the NBA's ratings are up.
You know...
Good.
Yo, NBA... That's the irony. Like, the NFL's ratings are down. WWE's ratings are down. NBA has quickly been, like, rising in the past, like, few years. Like, the NBA cannot be stopped. I don't know what the hell is going on, man, but it cannot be stopped.
Yeah.
And it's a black league. A lot of black folks.
It's fascinating how the ratings for NFL are down, too.
Yeah.
Because people are protesting for so many different reasons.
Exactly.
I mean, and even before that was really kicked in, it seemed like the ratings were down.
Yeah. Plus, it's not really that fun to watch anymore. It really isn't. I used to be heavy in football, man, but I really don't give a shit that much anymore.
Did you see my on Tumblr? I found out that my dad's cousin used to play for the Saints.
Oh, really? That's crazy, man.
Yeah, something Russell, I think it was. Wait, no, Russell. It was his last name was Moore. I don't know.
Oh, what his name was. Fuck! What was his name? God damn it! Shit.
Lance Moore,
yeah, that's right. Yo.
I met my biological father a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
And we were talking, and he mentioned it. He said he went to his wedding and because they're cousins, mm-hmm. First cousins.
Nice.
Yeah, so he said he got to see the Super Bowl ring.
Lance fucking Moore. I think that was the Super Bowl when, yeah, they went with Drew Brees. Drew Brees was the QB for them. Yeah, remember that shit.
That was interesting. I mean,
that was like some years after Katrina, I think.
Yeah, when they had to go hard, right?
Yeah, exactly. They were like, yeah, we gotta put the city on our back, and they did it. They did it, man. They fucking did it. Oh man, shit. What else we got? But yeah, going back to the seamstress shit. Apparently, I think she might have been speaking of a Moore. They said that she might have been, like, married to Shannon Moore at some point. Remember him? Huh.
Yeah, I remember Matt trash-talked Mecha Wolf a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that, because he really came forward and said that he's a fucking scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah, Mecha Wolf still gets work, so there's that.
Oh, that shit, that's... So the lady is actually his wife, like, legit.
Oh.
Like, right now. Like, the Julie Youngberg, or something like that.
So she has a job with WWE and he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Well, whatever.
Oh, that's terrible. And I don't know Shannon Moore's relationship with the Hardys anymore. Because, like, I thought they used to be cool back then. I wonder what the fuck happened.
Let's see. Is there anything about it? I don't know.
I know Helms is still cool with the Hardys.
Helms seems like he's cool with most people still.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude. I like him, though.
Yeah.
What else? My last piece of news is actually kind of funny. Impact Wrestling. Apparently they're teaming with a local Ottawa pizza place. I forgot the place's name. I really don't give a shit. But they're apparently going to sell Impact Pizza and Beverage for 1 week in November. So, like, it's all Impact Wrestling themed, like, food. It's like, I guess it's like a kind of like a pop-up shop type deal, but it's like they're just taking over a pizza place.
Oh.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know. It's funny.
I just found something about, I think this woman's been mad at Matt Hardy's wife since 2005, because there's an article on here from 2015 about them having a spat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Looking at it. So, this seems like it must go back to something that happened. Okay, I'm going to read this bit from something written on Facebook.
All right.
So, great news. The police came over to, the other day, who were working on my case on the person, people who are hacking me, stalking me, making a lie, slander, and are trying to break up the beautiful marriage Shannon and I have. Funny enough, the cops traced the emails back to a town none other than Cameron. Okay, Cameron, North Carolina. LOL, just a little more time before that. They cracked a false name the account was up and under, but they are working on it. So I guess she believed that Rebby Sky hacked her account and said some shit.
Oh, that's funny.
Jeez. Oh, and she insinuated that Hardy's, that Maxwell is not Matt's kid.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That looks like his kid, though. You can't even deny that, really.
And I think she came back to some suit too. That, and then she claimed that that girl, that Youngberg girl, was cheating on Shannon.
Oh Jesus!
It says that you're, there. She, I guess she also referred to her as a bit of a racist too, but she said claimed that she was sleeping with Justin Gabriel, and she claimed that she was a racist, insinuating that my child is half black is the worst. And I don't know what that means, but I don't know.
What the fuck?
So, yeah, this has been going on for years.
Wow. That's some nasty
shit. We got to the bottom of the case, sort of.
We broke the case.
Yep.
Oh, that's nasty, man. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's too much drama. This is too much pointless drama, man. Yeah, going back to the Impact Wrestling shit, I wanted to note one funny thing, though, is that we've all joked about how in Impact TNA has been copying WWE for, like, years. Well,
yeah.
This time they're copying other people. Because, like, it's not a wrestling promotion, it's a person. They basically copied fucking Lil Yachty. Because Lil Yachty did this shit twice. He would open up a pop-up pizza shop. I think he did one in New York, and I guess so. I think one elsewhere. It might have been in L.A. or something. But he's done that before, where he sold Liotti pizzas out of existing pizza places before, and he did it twice this year. So the fact that they're kind of like doing that shit is hilarious to me because they're just copycats. I don't know.
It impacts a lot of problems, and writing is one of them.
Jesus. But, yeah, that's all the news I got.
All right. Well, shit. Are we done? We got anything else we want to add? I am, what is this, 18? I am 18 days into horror films.
Nice.
And I am 2 days away from finishing all the Friday the 13th that came out in the 80s. So, yeah, that's been quite of an experience.
I haven't seen a single horror movie yet.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been slacking. I don't know.
Well, don't worry, I'm working for both of us.
I just got too much shit to do these days.
It's understandable. But the Friday the 13th ones have been interesting. I didn't realize how long it takes for Jason to really be Jason. Like, because he's barely in the first movie as just a surprise cameo.
Right.
So he just starts killing in the segment. And I looked at the timeline. Me and my brother were confused at the timeline because technically the second movie is made the year after the first movie, but it takes place years later. So the whole timeline is shot.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the hockey mask until the third movie. And he doesn't become the supernatural menace until the sixth movie after they kind of screwed up the franchise with the fifth film by not really having him in it.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's the one where they had the fucking, like witches and shit?
No, this one didn't have witches. It was just the guy who survived the fourth film, like, 3 or 4 years later, even though he looked like he aged 12 years. And he was in a mental hospital, and they thought he was the killer, but it just turned out to be some fucking mortician dude.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one now. Oh, you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about fucking Halloween.
Yeah, that makes sense, because the third one is the
Halloween pulled that
witch's
pulled
season or something.
Shit. Yeah, Halloween pulled some dumb shit, too.
Yeah. But me and my brother watched the sixth movie today, and Jason gets resurrected from the dead. He's teleporting now. He's no longer chasing the bad guys. And once again, they said it takes place a year later, but hired another actor who looked even older. I'm like, this guy's in 17. But, just two more to go from the 80s, and then I'm out of Friday the 13th for, But, if you can go see it, check out Chopping Mall on a, it's on Blu-ray and stuff where you can down steal it from somewhere. I stole it. Chopping Mall was fun. It's just a bunch of dumb white people stuck in a mall with killer robots.
I heard this is one thing on Netflix called The Babysitter. Like, it's a horror comedy.
I've been meaning to watch that one.
It's supposed to be a horror comedy. I heard it's decent.
Yeah, I watched their other one from like last month, the Little Evil.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. I liked Little Evil.
Yeah, I'll probably Babysitter after October because I got. I'm already watching enough stuff as, and Stranger Things is coming out in like a week or two, so.
Yeah, and then I gotta watch, Cult of Chucky, that's what I gotta watch too. Forgot about that one.
Yeah, so yeah, just watching movies, reading comic books. That's
snorting cocaine?
Nah, I'm too straight edge for that. That would help me out at work though, I need the, losing attention. I can't deal with waking up again. Sucks. I was trying to take a nap today, but there was a domestic issue outside my window.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I was wondering which part I'm supposed to call the cops at.
There was, one thing that was funny. Actually, it wasn't really funny. I can't laugh at it, but like...
You can laugh in retrospect, even though it was horrible.
I think it was like Saturday.
That's how we deal with shit, right?
What?
That's how you deal with shit. If it's bad, you just laugh it off and hope it doesn't hurt you in the future.
Yeah, so, like, Saturday, I was sick as a dog, but, like, my dad still had me help him out outside, even though it was fucking cold. But as everything's going down, I'm still sitting there chilling on the porch or whatnot. And my neighbor, he has a daughter who lives with him, but, like, he's not there half the time. I think he does work. Like, a different state. So, like, she is basically there by herself most of the time. Well, I can't say by herself because she has her fucking boyfriend stay there, too. So, and I don't know where her boyfriend works or whatever because it seems like he has money or whatever. But, like, I remember they pulled up to the front of the house one, when they pulled up and got out of the car, she was walking to the door, the front door, and out of nowhere, he's in the back of the car, and I guess he's trying to open it, and he starts flipping the fuck out. He's like, "Open the fucking door! Open the fucking..." Like, he yelled like a fucking maniac, dude. Like, it was the scariest shit I had ever, like, I'm bigger than this
kid, and I probably beat the shit out of him, but, like, that screaming fucking scared me. I don't know what the... And then I was like, God damn, I hope he doesn't fucking beat her when he goes inside the fucking house, because it just felt like... It gave off that type of energy. Fucking insane. Yeah.
The thing that happened earlier was around the car, too. The woman had, I guess, wanted to go pick up her kid, and the, I don't know if that's her husband or her boyfriend or something, but he refused to let her in the car for some reason. She's screaming at him that she needs to go get the kid.
Wow.
Which, I mean, it should be obvious if she has to go pick up her small, and I've seen her daughter, she's very young, then you probably need to let her go get her fucking kid. But he didn't seem to do anything other than ignore her for like the 5-10 minutes.
Wow.
Eventually, whatever happened, and then they, I guess she was able to go off and drive and pick up her kid. I was like, I was sitting there concerned, like, am I supposed to do something? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, should I do something? But then I remember, yeah, she is kind of a bitch, so I'm just gonna probably let that shit slide. Yeah. It's not my concern, unless I see some visible signs of shit going on.
And then you have to kind of either get involved or get the cops involved.
Yeah. Actually, I don't want to get the cops involved because I don't want to deal with police.
Fuck. I don't blame you.
I'd rather avoid that shit.
That's the one thing that stops people. It's not so much they don't. It's not so much the idea of explaining. It's that police in general are terrible.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with them at all.
Yes.
And then they ask for your info and shit, and like I don't want to give my info.
I don't want them to know my name at all. Can't you just like take my word for it and then like never talk to me ever again?
Yeah, just keep it pushing, man.
Yeah, just. You don't need to bring up my name, my person. You don't need to call me up for anything. Just, here's what happened. You go deal with it. We're not buddies. You're peace. I don't trust you. All right. I guess we should probably tie this up. All right. Plugs. Fuck it. I don't feel like plugging anything right now. Maybe next week.
Westside.golf on Instagram. There,
yeah,
plug.
Yeah, that's there. Right.
Is it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that sounds right on Instagram.
Yeah, Westside.golf on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I plugged it for you. But anyway, of course, you can check us out on rantemradio.com. They also have a Twitter, at rantemradio. On rantemradio there.
I guess Hootie's still on NNZ on Twitter, too.
Yeah, NNZ podcast on Twitter. Yeah, for Rant EM Radio, you got The Rant, Freaks and Every Geeks, Turbo Throwbacks, us at Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. For me, Doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube, as my primary channel. Secondary channel is Doomsday Gorilla, as in PWG's Gorilla. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And Dynamite. So,
yep.
That's it for us, and we're gonna end on a high note. So, hey, smoke weed every day. I'm on the chain.